Hey everybody, it's DJ Jazzy J here, and welcome to Tasty Time. We will pair our food with your mood, here on Penguin Radio. Here every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. Tune in for the next hour while I bring you tasty and easy recipes, restaurant critiques, and much more. Every Thursday we will discuss things that might help the average cook do some great things in the kitchen. So last week I mentioned that we were going to have a question of the day for every show that I do. So this week's question of the day is, this olive oil, garlic, and anchovy sauce is served in a heated terracotta container, usually with bread and raw vegetables to dip. Is it a specialty of Piedmont, Italy? Name this sauce. So if you want to hear the correct answer, stay tuned for the next hour while we talk about more food. I also am introducing a new segment called the Random Helpful Tip of the Day. Here we have five reasons to eat dark chocolate every day. So the first reason, dark chocolate contains powerful antioxidants. Second, dark chocolate lowers blood pressure. The third, dark chocolate prevents several diseases. It also protects your skin, that's number four. And number five, dark chocolate improves your brain function. So that'll give you more motivation to eat chocolate every day. And for those of you who love dark chocolate as much as I do, it's a very tasty, pun included, a tasty treat every single day. So today's first easy recipe, we're going to get right on to the first dish, easy recipes. So the first recipe is a family dish. So now I've chosen to every week incorporate a family dish, a magazine or cookbook dish, and a listener submitted recipe. So today's easy recipe from my family is lemon chicken with vegetable risotto. So hopefully you guys can see that this is a relatively easy dish. It just sounds complicated, but it tastes really good and it's really pretty when it's plated. So your ingredients for your chicken, you need a whole chicken, a lemon or two lemons depending on how lemony you want it, carrots, onions, rosemary, and olive oil. So the ingredients for your risotto are the arborio rice, that's how you pronounce it, I think. And that is the risotto rice, but in stores you can find it as arborio rice. Zucchini, asparagus, and chicken broth, and then salt and pepper to taste. So how you cook this, you put the chicken in a large glass oven-safe Pyrex dish on top of peeled carrots and quartered onions. In a small bowl, you put olive oil, you mince the garlic and the rosemary, and we talked about mincing last week. Basically, it's chopping your ingredients really, really fine. So you mince the garlic and rosemary, and you add to the bowl of olive oil. So then you stir, and you pour that on top of the chicken. So then you cut two lemons in half, and you squeeze their juice on top of everything. And then you stick the rinds of the lemon inside of the chicken with some leftover rosemary sprigs. Then you put the entire dish in the oven at 375 degrees for about an hour and an hour and 15 minutes, depending on how long it takes in your oven to cook. Usually it's golden brown, and sometimes I actually decide to cut it when it's not fully cooked just to make sure that everything is cooked evenly. So you just want to make sure that it's cooked until the inside isn't pink anymore and it's good to eat. So for the risotto, a lot of people are too intimidated to make risotto, and it's actually really, really easy. You just have to take time to cook it thoroughly. So for the risotto, you thinly slice the zucchini and trim the asparagus, the ends off. And then you put both of those vegetables in a pan with some olive oil, and you cook until both vegetables are tender. And usually I like to try some just before, just to make sure that they actually are tender. So then you add a half a cup at a time of the arborio rice, and you add that to some to the vegetables, and then you pour the chicken stock in. And I kind of eyeball the chicken stock normally. This chicken broth is the same thing. So you can just buy that from the store. It comes in like little packaged cartons. And what you want to do is you just want to alternate the pouring of the rice and then the adding of the chicken broth until the rice absorbs all the chicken broth. And then you can keep adding more, but you're going to want to taste it usually. And the rice has to be completely soft. You don't want chewy rice because it's actually not going to taste as good. And then sometimes you can add like champagne or white wine to the mixture as it's cooking, because actually all of that is going to be cooked out of the dish. So it'll still have the taste of white wine or champagne, but it won't have the alcohol, you know, sitting in there. So it's actually not like it gets cooked off. So for serving, I included serving. So you want to spoon some of the vegetable risotto onto a plate, and you put the onions and the carrots on top that were underneath the chicken. And then after you've cut the chicken, you put the chicken on top of that. And then you're going to be left with some, like, pan juice, I guess you could say. You want to drizzle that on top of the chicken. It makes it more moist. And it basically all the pan sauce is olive oil and lemon juice and rosemary. And that's where all the flavor is, actually. So you want to just drizzle that on top, you know, and really get all those good flavors in. So that's it for the lemon chicken and vegetable risotto. Now we're going to move on to the magazine or cookbook dish. So I actually chose, this one is from the Eat Well, Lose Weight, Dinners Under 400 Calories from Better Homes and Garden Special Interpretations. It's Better Home and Garden Magazine. And I think it's this month's. So it's spring 2015. So if you can still get your hands on it, go for it. So this recipe, I decided to choose the bacon, potato, and kale frittata. Now, it caught my eye in the magazine. It looked really, really, really good. So I've actually noticed that kale has become popular recently, and it's gaining popularity for this year and for last year. And most people have realized it now because they're starting to eat healthy and that kind of stuff. And I guess like kale is like a super lettuce, I guess you could say. And there are different ways to cook it. But in this dish, we're putting it in a frittata. So I'm just going to, it's on, for those of you who buy the actual magazine, it's on page 74, the actual recipe. So you have 12 ounces of tiny red skin new potatoes quartered, 6 sliced lower sodium, less fat bacon, coarsely chopped, 2 cups of chopped fresh kale, 1/2 cup of coarsely chopped onions, 1 medium. That's kind of what it suggests. 8 eggs, lightly beaten. So basically what you're going to want to do is, step 1 is, in a covered medium saucepan, cook potatoes in enough boiling, lightly salted water to cover in about 10 minutes, just until tender, that's going to cook. So you just kind of, the best thing you want to do is like to stick a fork inside of the potato, and that's how you can tell if it's done. Because if it takes a lot of energy to stick the fork in the potato, that's how you know it's not cooked yet. So then after that's done, you're going to drain, and then you're going to set it aside. So the second step is, meanwhile, you're going to preheat your broiler. In a large broiler-proof skillet with flared sides, you cook the bacon over medium-high heat until starting to get crisp. And then you add the kale and the onions, and you cook about 5 minutes or until the onion is tender. So then you stir in the cooked potatoes and you let that sit. The third step, in a bowl, whisk together eggs, about 1/4 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper. You're going to pour over the potato mixture and cook over medium-low heat. As the mixture sets, run a spatula around the edge of the skillet, lifting the egg mixture so uncooked portions flow underneath. So it's kind of like making an omelet, sort of, but you're doing it in a pan, and it's with a bunch of other ingredients as well. So you're going to want to continue cooking and lift the edges until the egg mixture is almost set, so the surface will be moist. So the fourth step is to place the skillet under the broiler 4 to 5 inches from the heat, and broil for 1 to 2 minutes or until the top is set and no longer wet. Or you could preheat the oven to 400 degrees and bake about 5 minutes or until the top is set and no longer wet as well. So then you're going to let stand for 5 minutes and slide the frittata onto a serving platter And then you're going to cut into six wedges. And the serving size is about six people. So make six servings. One wedge is one serving size or one person you're cooking for. So the total calories per serving is 175, if any of you calorie counters out there want to know. So that is the bacon, potato, and kale frittata in the magazine Better Homes and Gardens for this month. So the next one, the next recipe, is actually a listener submitted. We're going to call him Mr. J. So this recipe, it came from Mr. J, and he emailed it to me, and it is completely in his interpretation. So this recipe is an adaptation of a Mark Peel classic. It is rosemary roasted leg of lamb. So that might seem not so easy to cook for you, just everyday cooks out there, but it's going to be simplified, and it's going to be pretty easy to break down. So Mr. J said there's a warning. This can get rather expensive unless you grow your own rosemary or you know where to prune some from a neighbor's yard. You will need twice as much as you think, so don't be shy. If you purchase, at Safeway, you're going to figure about $25 to $50 at least just for rosemary. So try and figure out how you're going to get your rosemary. You can even pot a plant of rosemary and keep that one alive. So you're going to begin preparation actually the day before the feast. Usually a whole 3.5 to 4 leg, preferably with the bone. French in the bone that sticks out. Look it up if you don't know how to French. It's not what you think. So you're going to trim the lamb, the excess fat, and you're going to cut slits all over the meat and insert slivers of garlic, maybe one every 3 square inches or so. And then you're going to add kosher salt and pepper liberally and stick it in a plastic bag that's large enough to hold it all. And you're going to add enough olive oil to thoroughly marinate. So you're going to marinate the day before. And you're going to seal the bag, and you're going to kind of like massage or mush the meat in the olive oil to coat it. And then you're going to stick it in the fridge overnight. So you're going to want to, every couple hours, before you go to bed or whatever, flip the meat over a couple times. You just got to keep it all happy. So you're going to remove the lamb from the fridge and let it come to room temperature. So you're going to remove the lamb from the plastic bag. Duh. And you're going to preheat the oven that you're using to 500 degrees Fahrenheit. So take the largest cast iron pan you have and place it over the stove over medium-high heat and grab your leg bone. And that, you got to make it stick out so the bone is actually sticking out. And it makes a nice handle, actually. So you're going to throw it into a hot pan and brown it quickly all over, and the bone will stick out over the side unless you have a really big pan. So don't worry about it. So no need to brown the bone. So the leg should be quite brown so that it actually looks cooked, but will, of course, be raw on the inside. So after browning, you're going to turn off the burner, remove lamb, and pile pan high with as much of the rosemary that will fit inside of the pan. So you're actually going to want to be really, really lenient with as much rosemary as you use. You want to use as much as possible, actually, because the more the better. It's going to flavor the lamb longer. So you're going to pile it high, and there's no such thing as too much. So you're going to place the pan with the browned leg and the rosemary in the 500 degree oven for about 20 minutes, and then turn the heat down to 350 and roast for another 20 minutes. The trick here is not to overcook it, though. So remember, you can always cook more, but you can never cook less. So you'll need an instant read meat thermometer. They're very important to check the temperature after 20 minutes of cooking. And you will need it to read about 120 degrees. And you may need to cook further. So you're going to check every 5 to 6 minutes. So be careful so that it doesn't, burn and you don't burn yourself. And when 120 degrees is reached, remove it from the oven. Use 2 pot holders. The iron really holds the heat, and it will be heavy, the pan you're cooking in. So then you're going to clear a path from the kitchen to your backyard. Sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's true. And prepare a safe zone on which you will place the meat. So you're going to hide from children and tie down the dog and warn the drunks. So you will be coming through the house with a 350-degree hot, hot, hot cast iron pan containing a sizzling chunk of fresh meat and smoldering rosemary. The smell will drive the neighbors crazy, that's for sure. So you're going to place the pan on the prepared outdoor surface, like a brick or a cold barbecue grill. And you're going to want to concentrate or concentrate blocks, etc. So anywhere that will not immediately catch fire, and use a blowtorch, a cigarette lighter, or a small stick of napalm light. The smoldering rosemary. So you're going to light the rosemary, essentially, and set the entire thing on fire, and you're going to want to stand back. Sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's going to work. So at this point, you have a few options, all of which require theatrics, of course, so you use your own creativity. The oil in the already charred rosemary will immediately burst into flame, sending a plume of heavy incense into the stratosphere. If you plan ahead and pour another round of drinks just before the show begins, all you have to do is light it. Stand back, cross your arms, and enjoy the pandemonium. Remind overreacting guests that you are indeed in charge and that everything is under control to refrain from calling 911 or placing an emergency order of burgers from Carl's Jr. As the flames will die off after a minute or two, and again, all will be well with the world. You can also increase the drama with an impromptu twitching spell, shrieking, or diabolical guttural incantations, but that's up to you. And the wine amount you have been drinking, take advantage. You're going to let the whole sacrifice cool for a minute or two, and then blow away the charred rosemary ashes. Remove the lamb to a serving platter and tent with foil and let stand for 5 to 10 minutes. So just leave the pan for the next day to clean, because it'll take a lot of elbow grease. But don't tiz. The cast iron was black to begin with, so a little blacker will not be an issue. The internal temperature of the meat should now be up to around 130 degrees, and that's perfect. You're going to let it sit and then slice the meat and feast. So you're going to serve with spinach sautéed with pine nuts, olive oil, and vinegar, and that's just Mr. J's idea of what to serve it with, and plain boiled potatoes. It's a killer. Woo! So if you have a smoke detector in the kitchen, be prepared for it to go off, which adds a nice little additional bit of drama to the entire show. Also, if you have an old oven, be careful unless you have a thing for cute firemen. Note, this method does not yield enough drippings to make a gravy, so you're going to want to prepare one on the side if you want one. All right, everyone. So we're going to be right back with more Tasty Time, pairing your food with your mood. Up next, we'll be talking about how-tos, budgeting and breaking down, and some of my favorite Food Network talk shows. So I'm DJ Jazzy J, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. The song I'm going to be playing over a break is Best I Ever Had by Gavin DeGraw, and this is one of my personal favorites, so enjoy.
Sometimes we're at war again, save the world again. You can all join in, but you can't smoke inside. You said, take me home, I can't stand this place, cause there's too many hipsters and I just can't relate. You're my neon gypsy, my desert rain. You're my helter skelter, or how can I explain that you're the best I ever had? And I'm trying not to get. But I've read that soda kills you, Jesus saves on the bathroom wall where I saw your name. You're the best I ever had. I won't be the same. Night sky full of drones, this neighborhood of clones. I'm looking at the crowd, they're staring at their phones. They groom the coast.
So yeah, I think I clean my car. I cut my reflection. Drive the car. I've been medicated with cigarettes and alcohol. I got vertigo. No, I can't see straight. I got obligations, so I'm usually late. But you're the best. Hey, North Dakota, I think I love you, but don't even know ya. Hey, Massachusetts, hey, Minnesota, I think I love you, but don't even know ya. Hey, Carolina, hey, Oklahoma, I think I love you, but don't even know ya. Hey, Alabama, hey, California, I think I love you, but don't even know ya.
Hey everyone, I'm back. I'm DJ Jazzy J, and you're listening to Tasty Time on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. So that song was Best I Ever Had by Gavin DeGraw, and he's one of my favorites. So before I went on break, we were talking about easy recipes. So if you didn't catch those, you can go back and rewind on the podcast. So now we are going to be talking about how-tos. So this week's how-to is budgeting breakdown. So we're going to talk about 30 ways in 30 days to stretch your food budget. And I think this is really, really important, especially as a college student, to stretch your food budget, because goodness already knows I don't have money to pay for much food. So tip number one, and there are going to be 30 tips, one for every day. So the first one is buy in bulk. And I think this is a huge one, especially considering, you know, if I'm going to be sharing with my roommates or something like that, I'm going to want to buy in bulk so that there's a large quantity and it's going to last me a lot longer. So stores that you can kind of buy in bulk, you know, I mean, I'm from SoCal, but Costco is one, that's a lot of different places. And Safeway, you can kind of buy in bulk in Safeway, just depending on what it is. So you're going to buy frequently and use ingredients in bulk. So the examples they gives are, beans and frozen vegetables. So that's an interesting one. You can buy many things in bulk, especially at Costco. It's a really great store. So the second tip, you're gonna cook in large amounts and freeze leftovers. And especially for you moms out there, that's a really easy one. Or anyone, really, guys too, who are going to be cooking every meal of the week. That's a really good one. So you're gonna place enough food for 1 to 2 meals in each container so that you can freeze them. And then, you know, if you are, you know, you're cut short by time, you can kind of just take that food out of the freezer and re-eat it. Or sometimes people like to take those kinds of freezer food, and manipulate it into a different recipe. And I think that's awesome, because that gives you a lot of different choices and you're not just eating the same meal every single day. And I think that's kind of boring. So try to change it up. So the third tip, you're going to create a weekly meal plan that uses the same ingredients in different ways. So kind of what I just said. So that's great. So I don't know how many people actually make a meal plan, but that's just kind of a tip, you know, to use. I personally probably wouldn't make a meal plan because I don't know what I'm going to be doing every day of my life, like per week. But it says to make a meal plan. So you can, and you just use the ingredients in different ways that you froze. So tip number four, you're going to shop in season at farmers markets. Farmers markets are really, really fun, and they have a lot of fresh fruits and veggies and all that kind of stuff. They also really have, they have good nuts too, like peanuts and everything like that. Like they're really a lot tastier for some reason at farmers markets. So many farmers markets offer WIC or senior coupons for the produce. That's how you get your bang for your buck if you're a senior. And you should contact your local health department to find out more information on that one. But farmers markets are really great. So tip number five, you're going to grow your own fruits and vegetables. Not everyone has time to do this, of course. I know for my family, we grow our own basil. And it's actually really, really helpful, especially in an Italian family, because you're able to, you know, use basil whenever you want, whatever recipe you want. And basil is one of my favorite herbs. So as much as you can grow your own fruits and vegetables. And actually, my family not only did basil, but we dedicated a vegetable garden to my grandmother, who has since passed away. But it was a really great idea. It keeps our memory alive. And it's just, it's great every time the fruits and vegetables, they, you know, bloom and actually create the fruits and vegetables. It tastes so good. And you're just reminded of the many fresh and nutritious values that they have. So tip number six is to substitute fruits and vegetables for meats. So meat is a great, you know, thing to be eating, but obviously in moderation. So fruits and vegetables are, obviously, we've been told our whole lives that fruits and veggies are really good for you. So meats are more expensive, but beans are an excellent source of protein, and vegetables and fruits add a lot of flavor and texture and nutrients into your meals, no matter what time of day it is. So tip number seven, make regular grocery lists and stick to them. Now, this is a hard one for me, especially because grocery lists, I tend to go to the store and I get caught up in some of the aisles. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, this looks so good. And I want to cook with this. So making a grocery list, you know, you're going to be able to budget better if you stick to that list. So avoid buying less healthy and more costly items. Make regular grocery lists of essential items that keep you healthy, like fruits and vegetables, of course, and stick to them. So tip eight, you're going to eat at home more often. And this is something in a busy world and a busy society that we all live in today. It's really difficult to eat at home or to have a family meal or like a home-cooked meal. And that's something as a child I really looked forward to, all of like, especially dinners. I really liked eating as a family at home and in a home atmosphere. It's really a great experience. So eating at restaurants or buying packaged and processed foods can increase the amount you spend on food, obviously. So you're going to want to buy basic ingredients such as fruits and vegetables to cook more simple meals at home. And that's ultimately, if you cook the right things, it's going to be healthier for you. So tip number nine, you're going to, this one's a funny one, you're going to skip the cake. But you don't always have to skip dessert. And this is something I've kind of learned in my own, and you'll hear about it later in the show. I talk about a really good dessert recipe that I have. And I am a big sweets person, and I love sweets. So I don't always get to eat cake, but, you know, I don't always want to skip dessert. So fruits are a delicious and cheap alternative to more costly desserts. And actually, there are other ways that you can make desserts healthier so that you're, you know, calorie intake or whatever you're monitoring, or even if, you know, just you want to have a bit of a healthier dessert, or maybe just something not as big. It's a good way to substitute. I have ways to substitute some kind of, you know, easier ingredient. You know, they make in, you know, grocery stores and stuff. They make like reduced fat peanut butter or like low calorie, you know, those kinds of things. So those are good to use. So tip number 10, you're going to make homemade soup, and it's like a chock full of fruits and vegetables. So homemade soup is a healthy and tasty way to use fall fruits and vegetables. You're going to make a big batch and then freeze leftovers in small lunch-size containers. So that's just their suggestion. My family, personally, I don't know about yours, but homemade soups, oh, they're so good. They taste so good. My mom is really good and loves making a homemade chicken noodle soup. And when I'm sick, that's like the best thing. And if you freeze them in jars, it's so good because you just, you know, thaw them or defrost them or whatever. And you have homemade chicken noodle soup at your expense, like anytime you want. So tip number 11, you're going to look for deals and sales at your local grocery store. Check your local grocery store coupons for sales or seasonal produce, or take advantage of overstock discounts. So, you know, the, I'm not sure if it's Food Network. I think it's like TLC or something like that, that has a show called like Extreme Couponing. And I used to love that show. And it's actually on my bucket list to kind of like extreme coupon. I think that'd be so fun. And you can like save a ton just by, you know, some of the catalog coupons that they have, and you just clip them, and some stores will allow you to extend them, so you can not use one, but you can use multiple of those coupons. So that's a really good way to balance your budget that way, because, you know, if you only want to spend so much per week or per month on food, it's a great way. You just clip all the coupons. I think it's kind of fun too. I've done it before, but it's on my bucket list to like purchase, like make a full purchase with coupons. So tip number 12, you're going to try more dried goods, such as dried fruits and beans and legumes. I think that's a funny word. Those are going to store well through all seasons. So beans and legumes are also a lot cheaper proteins, and they're a better option than meat sometimes. I know I do eat meat, and I'm a meat lover, but sometimes beans are good. So you're going to want to try more dried foods. If you're trying to balance your budget. Tip number 13. This is a huge one. Don't shop hungry. Eat a piece of fruit or some vegetables before going to the store to avoid hunger-based impulse buys. This is a huge one for me. I know I definitely exercise this tip a lot. I go into grocery stores and make sure that I'm not hungry while I go into them. Otherwise, I buy the entire store, and it's crazy. So that's a great one. Tip number 14, you're going to use coupons only for items that are on your list. This will help you to avoid buying extra items and unhealthy foods in the process. So that's a good one. Tip number 15, canned fruits and vegetables matter. Canned vegetables such as low-sodium tomatoes and canned fruits and juice will last a lot longer in time and can be a healthy addition to a variety of meals. So you're going to stock up while you can while they're on sale, and you can even use some of those coupons because I know they go on sale a lot. So tip number 16, losing track here. Tip number 16, always keep frozen fruit on hand. This is actually a great one. They make really good smoothies especially. But you're going to keep frozen fruit on hand. It's an easy way to store them, and they'll be available when you're ready to add it to a meal or to use it for a healthy dessert, or like I said, a smoothie. And actually, I've been really into smoothies lately, and frozen strawberries and frozen mangoes are two of my favorites. I know one of my friends, she made me a smoothie the other day, and it was literally the best thing. It was so good. And she made it with frozen fruits, which I normally buy fresh fruits, so it was a great alternative. And they're less expensive, too. Tip number 17, excuse me, you're going to pick your own. Late summer or early fall is a great time to pick your own fruits and vegetables because they're in season. And this can be fun and a cheap way to buy in bulk and freeze. Or you could dry them for later too. That's another alternative. So tip number 17, you're going to add dried fruit to make any meal or snack healthier. I grew up eating dried apricots, and I've just recently discovered dried mangoes, and they're so good. And they last for a long time, and they taste great too. If you buy a large package of like raisins or other dried fruit, such as cherries, cranberries, apricots, mangoes, those kinds of things, you can add them to cereal, salads, peanut butter sandwiches, or even sweet or savory dinner sauces, and those kinds of things, and they are packed with like sweetness. They're so good. So tip number 19, you're going to save with store brands. This is a huge one, and I've learned because I like to go with my parents to shop. Because most of the time I do the cooking, and if I'm not doing the cooking, I still like to go. Just because I like to see what's on, you know, the market, to see what's cheap and going to be a good meal eventually. So saving with store brands can be a great budget choice for many forms of fruits and vegetables that are just as tasty and healthy for you and fresh. And I really like, you know, and the store brands are like, you know, if you go to Safeway and you see like, you know, Campbell's soup, and instead of getting Campbell's soup, you get the Safeway brand or something like that. So tip number 20, you're going to stick to the outside aisles when shopping at the grocery store. And this is something I actually didn't know until I read this. This is where the fresh produce and food items are, and it's healthier to avoid the expensive processed foods that are located in the inside aisles of the store. So you go down only those aisles that have the items you need, like canned vegetables or fruits. So you try to not, they make it so that the healthiest things are on the outside, which I think is really interesting. Tip number 21, try new fruits and vegetables. So this is just to get you to, you know, experiment with different fruits and vegetables because you're not sure which ones will go with. You can substitute for different recipes, like if a recipe calls for, you know, asparagus and you really like, I don't know, zucchini or whatever, that kind of thing. And sometimes, like, I've seen recipes that call for peas, and I'm not really a big fan of peas. So I'll substitute another vegetable that I really like, and that's a really good idea. Tip number 22, make a list of healthier, less expensive foods and recipes your family likes to eat. And that one's kind of a given. Tip number 23, try a leftover makeover. This is an important one. So spice up leftovers by adding new fruits and vegetables to create something new for the next day. Last night's dinner makes a great inexpensive lunch for the next day. So turn chicken dinner into a veggie-rich soup, or extra veggie sides into a veggie casserole lasagna. Oh, they're really stressing the veggies. But I like veggies, so it's good. Tip number 24, waste less with smaller servings. So like I said, eat in moderation and, you know, serve in moderation as well. My family is a family of four, and so I try to make the, you know, the serving sizes as opposed to make like a lot more, because you're going to save money. And if you make a lot more things like soups and stuff like that, like I talked about earlier, that's when you want to, you know, make more in that kind of instance. So tip number 25, don't throw out bruised or dented fruits and vegetables. This one's a big one for my family because my sister hates bruised bananas. They can be just as tasty though. Just be sure to remove all bruised areas during preparation. So just cut out the, you know, like brown parts of the banana. It's not that big of a deal. And it's not going to, you know, it's not the entire banana that you're cutting up and throwing away. So tip number 26, plan ahead. Make a detailed food plan for the week. That's kind of already been stated. So tip number 27, store your fruits and vegetables properly. This is a huge one too. Make sure fresh fruits and vegetables last longer, so you store them in the refrigerator or freeze immediately after getting home from your shopping trip. That's a big one. Tip 28, clearly label your foods before you store them. When storing fruits and vegetables in the freezer or refrigerator, clearly label them with contents and the date to stay within the safe and tasty time frame, because you know everything has an expiration date nowadays. So tip number 29, get creative with your leftover fruits and vegetables, kind of the same as get creative with all your other, you know, leftovers and kinds of things. And tip number 30, calculate your food budget. It's a huge one. Every month you're going to need a new food budget, I assume. So calculate that food budget. So that's it for a budgeting breakdown. Now I'm going to talk to you about some of the Food Network shows that are really good for budgeting, same, you know, that kind of thing. I have three. So the first one, I don't know if you guys watch Food Network, but it's a great network to watch. I watch it all the time when I'm, you know, bored or I need something to do. It's really good. I mean, it kind of makes you hungry, but not really. That's what a lot of people have told me. They tell me like, oh, I can't believe you watch it. It makes me hungry. But, you know, if you like eat before, you're not eating during, you're fine. Or if you eat just like a healthy snack on the side, it's cool. So Sandra Lee's Money Saving Meals is a huge one. She makes sure that, you know, store brands you're purchasing, some of the same tips that I've just gone through, the 30-day tips, she emphasizes drastically there. The other show would be $10 Dinners with Melissa D'Arabian. I'm not a huge fan of Melissa D'Arabian. However, her $10 dinners are, like, fantastic. Like, the way she's worked out her show is really, really interesting. And it allows you to make $10 dinners. That's exactly what it says. And that's really cool for the average cook that, you know, doesn't have all the time in the world or the money in the world to make extravagant dinners. The last one is Five Ingredient Fix with Claire Robinson. And I actually, this is one of my favorite ones out of the three. Five Ingredient Fix is my favorite because it teaches you how to make, you know, $10 dinners or whatever, but with five ingredients or less. And you could be you'd be surprised with how much you can get away with just five ingredients. Like, that can go a long way. And Claire Robinson does a really good job of stretching those five ingredients to make it not only flavorful, but also, you know, just getting your bang for your buck when you're buying those five ingredients. So we're actually going to be right back with more Tasty Time with DJ Jazzy J here. So stay tuned to hear the last segment, Restaurant Cookbook Critiques. It's called Food Reviews You Can Use. So you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm going to play one of my favorite songs from kind of an unknown artist. His name is Tanner Patrick. He's a YouTuber. So this song is called Sideways Figure Eights.
In a picture perfect world, I wouldn't hesitate.
Sideways, figure eights, dance in my headlights. You find ways to get away, hide till your head's right. Forgive me for my history, open your heart wide. And every day will feel like
in a picture perfect world, I wouldn't hesitate.
Sideways, figure eights, dance in my headlights. You find ways to get away, hide till your head's right. Forgive me for my history, open your heart wide. Every day will feel like
tell me, can you relate? I keep my past on replay. Tell me, can you relate? I keep my past on replay. It's cheaper than a movie. Uh-oh, it's cheaper than a movie. Uh-oh, it's cheaper than a red hot date. I take a date, but I take keep me moving. Not a reason to fear or to wait. In a picture perfect world, like tonight. Keep it moving every day.
right, we're back, everyone. This is DJ Jazzy J with Tasty Thai, pairing your food with your mood, here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. So, we just finished up the segment called Budgeting Breakdown How-To's. So, we are now going to move forward with food reviews you can use. If you remember that from last week, if you're new, welcome. So, this is my segment where I critique restaurants or cookbooks or something to that effect. So, this week, we are actually going to be critiquing a cookbook. And so, the cookbook that I decided to critique today is called Guide to the Harvest. And it's actually written by Food Network host, I guess, Curtis Akins. He's a Food Network host. He's on Food Network. He has his own cooking show. Actually, he is originally from Georgia, and his first show was called Peaches. That's kind of funny. So he actually, I was actually talking to a friend of mine a couple days ago, and that's how I got the inspiration to talk about this on my show. But one of my friends, she's a basketball player at Dominican University, and she told me, I told her about my radio show and, you know, whatever. So she told me about this guy, Curtis Akins, who was actually an alum of Dominican University. He attended here. He was actually the assistant coach of the girls' basketball team at Dominican. I thought that was really cool because now he's on Food Network. Like, you see the progress, you know, that he's made. And that's so awesome. And he lives in the Bay Area. So, like I said, he's on Food Network. He's appeared on shows like the Oprah Winfrey Show, The Home Show, CNN, Good Morning America, Entertainment Tonight. This is so cool. He's been invited to the White House to meet former President and First Lady George and Barbara Bush. I think that's insane. That is so cool to me that someone from Dominican, you know, most people don't know about Dominican unless you're from the Bay Area, and even then. So, you know, Dominican represent. And he was a coach for the girls' basketball team, so that's even better. That's awesome. So I really support Curtis, Mr. Akins. His cookbook is more to, it's called, like I said, Guide to the Harvest. It's actually more of, you know, going into produce and, like, fruits and vegetables and sort of how to use them and their background and similar things like that. And he tells stories. I just think this is a really cool cookbook. And my friend, actually, who was telling me about him, gave me the cookbook to, like, look at. And he actually signed it for her. And I thought that was so cool. And, you know, I want to take some time to commend people on the Food Network, because it's an industry that not many people, they know about, but I don't think they take the time to, like, watch it or listen to it or whatever. And there are so many things that they teach you there. And that's kind of how I got started cooking, and I'll talk about that in a second. So that's one of the reasons I got started cooking. Not only was it for my personal, like, you know, my personal heaven to be in the kitchen and to listen to music while expressing myself through food and my culture through food, but it was because of the people that I was watching on Food Network that actually inspired me to, like, get off my butt and go. So I'm going to just talk about really quickly some of my favorite Food Network stars, actually. They are big names in the business, I guess. So the first one is Giada De Laurentiis. So Giada, she is awesome. She's Italian. She comes from a very Italian family. And she was actually the one who got me interested in cooking. And she made everything seem effortless and easy and sophisticated. And sophisticated Italian cooking, like, she took Italian cooking to the next level. Because, you know, Italian cooking is kind of comfort food and stuff that's really, it tastes really, really good. Which, of course, you know, any kind of food will taste, you know, pretty good. Any kind of culture will taste really good. But as far as making the recipes sophisticated, you know, a lot of times it's Italian cooking is served family style. But she makes Italian cooking sophisticated and really look effortless and easy. And she also made a name for herself as a woman in a predominantly male atmosphere. because the cooking environment was mostly male, you know? I mean, women were home cooks, but they were never cooks in the industry or in restaurants or anything like that. So she kind of made a name for herself as a woman in that industry. And I really, really commend her for that, because I think that's something that is so awesome. And I really, really like that about her. And like I said, she makes sophisticated comfort food, especially if for Italian. She focuses mainly on Italian food, but I've seen her do a bunch of different things. And she's not only got her own, she's got two different cooking shows. There's Giada at Home, and then there's another one that I can't really remember. I think it's Giada. I'm not really sure. But there's another one that she does. So one's at home, and the other one is, oh, it's Everyday Italian. And actually, the funny thing with that is my parents, my dad knows, I guess, a lot of people where I'm from, and he knew someone that his daughter worked for Giada, and it was really, really cool. And of course, I wasn't invited. It was really sad, but that's okay. My parents were actually invited to be on one of Giada's shows, and my dad actually makes an appearance in one of her Everyday Italian shows, and it's really, really funny to see my dad on a cooking show with someone like I idolize so much as a cook, as a chef in this industry that is predominantly male. And I really, really love her, and I couldn't say more about her that's more awesome, you know, more awesome, great English, just DJ Jazzy J, but you know. So I actually saw Giada De Laurentiis at my school. She came and talked to us, and she did a lecture series, she was part of the lecture series, and she talked about, you know, being a woman in this industry that's a predominantly male. And I really loved her enthusiasm and her love for the business, and you know, and she just genuinely loves cooking, and I just love that about her. So I could rant on her forever. My next cook is Rachel Ray, and her too, like Giada, they're both Italian, and they both come from big families, you know. But I find her, Rachel Ray's food is more comfort food and less sophisticated than Giada's is, while still maintaining the flavor and the comfort food of the Italian atmosphere. And it's mostly like what Rachel Ray does is kind of, you know, she cooks for like the average family. And I really like that about her. And most of her meals are super easy to replicate. I really like that about her. And once again, similar to Giada, she is making a name for herself as a woman in a predominantly male atmosphere. So I applaud her a lot. Props to her. The third and final cook that I absolutely love, he is a chef, a very esteemed chef in the business. And he's been doing it for I don't know how many years, but he's been doing it for a really long time. Bobby Flay. He's an Iron Chef. He has worked his way up in this business. He knows what he's talking about. He's done everything from tiny little shows to like big and important shows like Iron Chef America and things like that, where he's been a judge. He's been like an esteemed cook. And I really, really like that about him. And if you tuned in last week or you heard the podcast, I talked about Throwdown with Bobby Flay. And that's one of my favorite shows of his, actually, because he has many, actually. But Throwdown with Bobby Flay is my favorite show that he does. And he just goes, you know, around wherever they've asked him to go, and he challenges people to their signature dish. And I really like that about him. He tries to replicate their signature dish, like, with his flair, and I really, really like that. So I actually also wanted to talk about three cookbook recommendations and recipes. Not specific recipes, but more cookbook recommendations. So my top three cookbooks, I use this first cookbook like every day when I'm home. I love it. And it's good for budgeting, and it's healthy, and it's, I don't know, I just love their recipes. There's a show, I think, I'm not sure what channel it's on either, but it's called Cook Yourself Thin. And if you research that online, you probably find it. But Cook Yourself Thin, it sounds, you know, like a dieting show and whatnot. And it kind of is. Their slogan is like, cook yourself thin, in 6 weeks you'll drop a dress size. But I really, really, and it's predominantly women who run this show, and I love their recipes. So my favorite recipe from there, my family absolutely adores, is their peanut butter chocolate squares. And this sounds like, you know, evil to talk about that much goodness in one square, but it's actually healthy for you. Like, you can, like I said earlier in the show, you can talk about, you can manipulate recipes and tell other people that peanut butter and chocolate doesn't always have to be really fattening. It could be really sophisticated, really good, by just manipulating a few things. So instead of just peanut butter and chocolate, you add oats and stuff like that, and low-calorie peanut butter, and it doesn't sacrifice any of the flavor, believe me. And you freeze it, and it's crunchy and chocolatey and peanut buttery all in one, and it's so good, and my family absolutely loves it. So the next cookbook is Giada's Feel Good Food. And like I said, I couldn't talk about food without mentioning Giada. She's the one I look up to. She's my food inspiration. She's the one who inspired me to cook. And my parents have also been on her TV show, like I just said. So I connect to her the most out of all of the chefs on the Food Network. She's my absolute favorite. And her cookbooks, any of her cookbooks, she's written numerous ones. But the one that I have from her lecture from my school is a Feel Good Food one. And that one is awesome. And I don't know, I just really like her. The third cookbook I recommend is any of Ida Garden. Her name, like, is actually Barefoot Contessa or whatever on Food Network. So it's Ida Garden Barefoot Contessa. But any of hers I really, really love. She is a great person to be on Food Network. She's so, like, calm, cool, and collected, and I absolutely love that about her. So those are my three cookbook recommendations. So at the beginning of this podcast and live show, I said that there was going to be a question of the day, and I read it to you, and I'll read it again. This olive oil, garlic, and anchovy sauce is served as in a heated terracotta container, usually with bread or a raw vegetable dip. It is a specialty of Piedmont, Italy. Name this sauce. So, if you tuned in earlier or you're tuning in now, the correct answer is bagna cotta, which literally means hot bath. So, it's Italy's version of fondue. So, that sounds good. Yes. Give it to me, girl. So, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to Tasty Time with DJ Jazzy J, me. And I will be here every Thursday from 4 to 5 here on Penguin Radio. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you next Thursday from 4 to 5. Thanks.